It's Friday, February 6th, 2026, from Peachfish Productions. It's The Gist. I'm Mike Pesca. And today's a funny you should mention Friday. Yeah, it's funny you should mention that. It's Friday, and it's funny you should mention it with Jeffrey Asmus. Really great comedian. Now, I'll tell you how he came across Jeffrey Asmus. It has to do with the fact that his name is Jeffrey. No, I wasn't just searching for whitecomedian.com, which is his URL. Would be odd if I did. He claims to be the only funny white comedian in America. I mean, all of those statements, except maybe only, are true. He's from Minnesota, has an abiding hatred of the Lutherans. All right, possibly exaggerated for comic effect, and we talk about that. We talked about losing the audience, which can be good. That maybe leads to long-term building the audience. You know, and then you give the Easter eggs in there that rewards the persistent fans or those paying attention. Jokes can work on a couple levels with Jeffrey Asmus. So how I found out about him is in the credits. Maybe you hear me credit Jeff Craig. Well, it turns out Jeff Craig has a little bit of Jeff Dar, he admitted to me. And he said, you got to check out this guy. I'm like, that guy's great. What a coincidence you have the same name. And Jeff Craig kind of sheepishly admitted, I kind of look out for all the other Jeffs with a G in the world. You know, Jeff Craig lives in Belgium. And so if there was, in fact, only one funny white comedian in America, that doesn't mean he, Jeff Craig, in Belgium, wouldn't have access to other funny white comedians. Luckily, nothing of the sort is true, except it is sort of true that our Jeff has Jeff Dar, which, you know, is a serious condition. People allergic to Jeff Dar shouldn't take Jeff Dar. I very much enjoyed my conversation with Jeffrey Asmus. Enjoy.
Like, when they get the laughter from that joke, I was like, that's pretty cool. I think that was probably the first comedy I ever saw, was because people would go nuts. He mentions Randall Cunningham, Vikings quarterback, Randy Moss. People lose their minds.
Like, and that's not even a joke. That just, it has sort of the structure of a joke, but
it doesn't really make any sense.
Randy Moss set the record for most touchdowns. She's the only guy ever to come back from the game. Well, allegedly, don't know what the Lutherans say about that.
It actually has caused trouble. I'm not going to lie. That joke actually, I had to retire that joke.
I'm here with the only funny white man. All right, that is not Jeffrey Asmus's actual claim, but it's what he uses for marketing. His last special tried to argue against cancel culture. We don't even really know what he thinks. He's trying to be provocative. He's extremely funny and, you know, the most anti-Lutheran comedian you're going to see, I think.
That's
true.
You
just come straight at us with the anti-Lutheran sentiment.
I can't stand those Lutheran pigs. Otherwise, any other group of people is fine by me, but it's wrong what they did to the Catholic Church. I'll always be loyal to the Pope forever and always.
I love the real Pope.
The real Pope.
Not these various fake
There's all
popes
these anti-popes that so you got to know.
And
yeah, pre-Vatican
popes.
II. Pre-Vatican
yes.
II. Yeah.
We have an American Pope now.
Chicago guy. Yeah. He's actually kind of cool.
Well, I guess we got Donald Trump to do this trick, but I thought that would dominate our consciousness a little more.
I thought that would maybe help the Catholic faithful maybe veer back towards morality, but unfortunately the religious found a way to go back the other way.
Well, I also think he spent a lot of time in South America, right? And helping the poor of South America. Like he picked a continent in this hemisphere and it wasn't his birth continent.
That's
what he's emphasizing.
Right. And Trump, I had a joke where I was like, Trump, the tariffs worked. They got us an American Pope. Like, he's bringing back jobs.
That's a good joke.
Bringing back jobs one at a time. Yeah. We're slowly getting there.
So you do try to have a specific kind of joke about Trump that works, not because you're pandering to the crowd, but just because
I don't really talk about I've never done a Trump impression. That's not really my thing. I don't really do impressions, but I try to talk about Trump as little as possible, if I'm being honest.
Because why?
I think that one of the main mistakes we made is just giving him too much attention.
Yeah.
I think that's what he wants. He's
cat
a clickbait. He's like the cat's out of the bag now. Unfortunately, we missed our chance, but I think like 2015, 2016, we gave him way too much airtime. And I think that was a huge mistake.
And your funniest white man special, it's doing hundreds of thousands of views on YouTube.
We're changing it. Yeah. We're changing everything. Yes, exactly.
There were some Trump jokes.
I could have stopped
that.
Trump. I chose not to, but I could have. I could have done it.
So you are Catholic, and there was a, I don't know if it was a throwaway line. It was a line in one of your specials where he said, we went a couple times a week.
Oh, for church? Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah, because we had to go with our family and then at school.
Oh, okay.
School. So,
I thought
so,
you were a family
no,
that went a couple times.
Oh, no. We went every Sunday. And school was probably every other week. I think it was on Wednesday we had to go to Mass at school.
And was it like one of those matinee kids only church sessions? And
yeah, it was school only. Yeah, yeah, it was. Yeah. Yeah, I can't remember any adults had coming in there. But those were the best days because then classes were shortened. We loved church. I loved church day.
Did you
have like a deep nostalgia for like the music of the Catholic Church. I kind of like it.
Did you get any of your performing inspiration from priests in the pulpit?
A little bit. I mean, because the white priests aren't performing in the same way they are at a Black Baptist church, but they are like, they're pandering. I remember the priest would throw jokes. He'd be like, Jesus came back from the dead. That's like Randy Moss catching a touchdown and people go nuts. And I did feel like when they get the laughter from that joke, I was like, that's pretty cool. I think that was probably the first comedy I ever saw was because people would go nuts. He mentions Randall Cunningham, Vikings quarterback, Randy Moss. People lose their minds.
Like, and that's not even a joke. It has sort of the structure of a joke, but
it doesn't really make any sense.
Randy Moss sets the record for most touchdowns. Jesus, the only guy ever to come back from the dead.
Yeah,
allegedly, don't know what the Lutherans say about that.
But they agree with that. They agree with that. They are on the board
with
that.
The Randy Moss part?
He came back from the dead, but they got the transubstantiation thing. We're not into that.
And they argue that, you think, just to get their nose in the tent, just to, so the other Christians are like, all right, well, this is sensible. Maybe we have some common ground, and then the Lutherans trick the real Catholics.
I think that was a little they get a little wedge in there. Wedge issue. Yeah, exactly.
Lutherans known for their trickery.
Exactly. This is true. I don't want to say it all. Love, but it's true. It's true.
Oh, so in this studio, you're reticent to rip the Lutherans a new one, but your whole life's tour.
I have a lot of Lutheran fans now, so I don't want to lose ticket sales, you know? It's all about the bucks.
I listened to your album that I think isn't even available in video. What is that called?
Which one? Oh, The Prodigal Little Bitch from way back in the day.
I mean, there is a track called, I Hate Lutherans.
I think there is. I wonder what I can't even remember what the bit, that was from 2018.
I do not like Lutherans. Muslims, Buddhists, fine. I do not like Lutherans. They are evil traitors. Don't look them in the eye. That's why you didn't finish college.
Remember the bit. I can't remember
what it actually was exactly. But that was, it's so funny you said I had an album. It was 2018, 2019. I was like, yes, the audio format is the future. We don't need to film this set. Yeah, let's put all the work into the audio thing. And we also do a Telegram version of it.
It's like the dip and dots of media.
Why didn't I film it? That's so stupid.
So you start off pretty early in many of your sets, as comics do, introducing yourself, and you do these jokes about your name being Joffrey with a G.
Yes, have an old joke about that.
So from my generation, I knew some Joffreys with a G, and the character they'd always be compared to or get a stupid question about was the giraffe from Toys R Us.
Yes. So yeah, I didn't get called Joffrey until recently, the Game of Thrones thing. It's not how you say it. But it was the giraffe. Or the giraffe and the guy who plays Captain Barbarossa is named Jeffrey as well, with a G.
Right.
Those are the only two. And Jeffrey Bean, or Jeffrey, it's like a clothing brand or something.
Oh, LL?
There's a Jeffrey something also. There's a Jeffrey Bean as well. Yeah, it's not as well known, but yeah.
Joffrey from Game of Thrones. So people would not only say annoyingly to you, Jeffrey from Game of Thrones, which is the mistake they should made.
Right.
They compounded the mistake by saying, Joffrey from Game of Thrones.
And they're showing that they didn't read the books, because if you read the books, it's Joffrey. So they're just fair weather fans. I read the books before the shows came out, so that pissed me off doubly, honestly.
But there was
also people are like, are you named after Joffrey? It's like, he's a genocidal maniac who rapes his sister. Why would my parents name me after that guy? Yeah. It doesn't make any sense.
And now, if you haven't read the books, spoiler alert, thanks, Jeffrey.
Sorry. If you haven't read them, no one in America is reading books. We're not. If they read it, it's already going to happen.
When I first heard you do a Joffrey Game of Thrones joke, it was a barista at Starbucks. And then the second time I heard you do it, it was a clerk at a store while you were buying White Claw.
I did switch it, yes. Actually have brought it back into my act now. I switched it again a little bit more. Yeah, I added on to it. It was... It's all true, though.
That's the question.
It definitely was at a CVS and a Starbucks. I'm just using both
right.
moments. Everything I say on stage is true. It's not just a contrived premise to bring you joy.
So
it's all real.
The most frequent question I ask on this is some version, but it's not out of naivete, is do you ever say things that aren't true? And of course you do.
Of course.
You do it right. But I think you say things that aren't true in the political realm more than things that are true. Like, I don't know how much you have ever expressed your actual political beliefs as opposed to this pose
oh,
alpha
yeah.
guy.
Not, yeah. In my new act, I do more. I do
you
get,
say I'm a liberal.
I do get sincere yeah. a little more in recent times, maybe in the stuff I haven't really posted yet. But yeah, in the stuff I've posted, I really don't let on who I am, really.
And then why is that?
Because I think it's kind of boring. I think yeah. it's just kind of boring. It's not always boring, but like to just be like, I'm a liberal and Republicans are lame. That's kind of like just, in my opinion, that's like layer one of comedy.
Yes.
Layer two is like, I say, like, what I'm doing is basically what the Colbert Report kind of. It's like he does this over the top and like the joke's not obvious. You have to like kind of sift a little bit through it. Be like, is he being serious or is he not? Like, and it kind of gets people from both sides as well. Like, I've lost a lot of Republican fans in the last like 6 to 8 months from things I posted. But I used to have more Republican fans because they like didn't quite get that I was making fun of them. And that's fine. And that's fine. That's yeah. that's fun that they were there and they were seeing the jokes at a completely different level. They were just seeing surface level. He's saying kind of crazy shit. That means he must be right wing. And then liberals are like, oh, he's mocking them. And so it's like kind of an interesting mix of people that come out for
it as
well.
And I'm sure as an artist, your stance is, look, if I lose people because they have these antiquated beliefs, so be it, as long as like 2% of the audience.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Yeah, I don't care if someone, if someone's like, oh, he's being too woke. I'm like, well, I don't want you at my show. That's
right.
If that's what your
as
reason.
As long as it's like capped at like 3 or 4%
I still want,
of the
I don't
audience.
Want all liberals because that's boring as well. So you want a mix. You want a mix of people. It makes it more exciting for everyone. And,
but
and
I
honestly.
Also hear things poking through that you sincerely believe. Now, you do it as a joke. Let me just go back to say it is level one of comedy to essentially say, here is my belief. Now I am either going to convince you of my belief or expound on the thesis through humor.
Exactly.
Right?
I think that's like I do that sometimes, too. But I don't want that to be my only thing. I want there to be layers to it as well.
And then if there's misdirection, that's kind of joyful and there's some discovery and
right.
it just makes it more exciting. Exciting for you as the joke teller, exciting maybe for them as the audience if they get it a little
exactly.
bit.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think sometimes sincerely saying like maybe a right-wing belief at face value, just like saying it kind of shows how ludicrous it is. Like if I'm on stage being like, these trans people are making my taxes higher. Like if you just say that, it like shows how absurd it is that anyone would actually believe that. So I think there's like a layer to it as well in that respect.
I think there are a lot of trans people who work for the IRS. I've
they
heard.
Are, and they,
I've
are,
heard
they are ruining is, the country. That yeah, I'm not going to deny
heard
that.
If you
yeah.
go through male puberty, the testosterone benefit helps you as an IRS
exactly
agent.
And yep. they're ruining the water supply and it's a lot of stuff and we can't even get into it today.
There
we
go. Thank you.
It's a lot
thank
going
you for sparing
on.
Me
yeah,
that because
yeah.
I was going to go on
I,
one I'll of
have
my
a tirade, a transphobic yeah, yeah. tirade at the ready at all times, but it's not
he
yet.
You can play all audiences,
we
corporate audiences.
We can do it all.
Yeah.
No, corporations hate me. I've done a few corporate gigs. That doesn't work out. They don't like what I'm doing.
Really?
They don't like my vibe.
3M?
No.
Classic
no.
Minnesota
they
company?
Classic Minnesota company. Poison the water supply where I grew up.
That's
but,
maybe this
yeah,
is why. Maybe
that's
we're getting.
I would bring that up. I could not bring that yeah. up, so but, I got to.
But counterpoint. Post-it notes.
Oh, they did do post-it
it
notes.
It equals things out. I so mean, your community suffered, but we all have an idea, and boom.
Everyone where I live works for 3M or Target, so I gotta bow down to the 3M gods for
what
sure.
Would you,
yeah.
What things would you say at Target that would never let them invite
Target,
you back?
I'd have to make fun of them for getting rid of DEI after being the DEI company. That's that was a little cowardly
you did
of
go
them.
Go 180 on that.
And they
didn't
like
they?
Were they were the company that had a massive gay pride thing every June, and now they're like, actually, we're not gonna hire black or gay people. So I think. I'd have to go in on them
wait,
for being cowardly.
I would argue they probably went too far in one direction.
They probably went, because I think what they were doing was like lame corporate liberalism. I agree. It was lame. And it's easy to make fun of that because it's disingenuous. It's obvious. They didn't actually care about gay people.
Everyone could now probably get behind you if you make Target jokes.
Yes. I agree. They've got a target on their back. There we go. Come on.
This guy's a pro. Okay.
Got it.
We have the Jeffrey jokes, but then there's the fact that your last name is Osmus, and it's not really. It's A-S-M-U-S,
It's Osmus. It probably was A-U-S before Ellis Island, I'm sure.
Because I was thinking, like, you know, is it sexual harassment? It's not. It's
harassment.
Yes.
Harassment.
Something in the Asmus would be more. I don't know if people called you that or if you were tarred with that.
Yes. People have brought up that my name sounds like ass.
Oh, they have.
A few times. It's been brought up.
Did that shape you into the man you are now?
Definitely. That's why my Instagram handle is Jeffrey ATM, because I got called Jeffrey Ass to Mouth a lot in college and high school. That was a fun little nickname I had.
I thought the point of getting into a good college is they wouldn't say this to you.
No, Badgers weren't nice to their fellow Badgers. No, unfortunately.
So what did make you, and I'm just going by your jokes, is that you didn't masturbate until you're 25.
That is mostly true. Okay. That's like a core joke. It's probably more like 22, 23, but that is mostly true.
25 was funnier?
25, because the joke was that I was full of cum, and I was bubbling with cum until I could rent a car, and 25's the day you can rent a car,
right.
So I changed it. It was probably 22, 23, really.
Do you make a joke about, like, on that very day you had two things to get to?
To masturbate and to get a Hertz, go to Hertz. Yeah, I should. I haven't brought that joke back, actually. That was probably one of my earliest.
Both thing Hertz, yeah.
So that's an example of, that is true, mostly. That's mostly true. It's like a
that's
kind of crazy,
enough.
But it is. It's true enough.
Yes.
I think that's the goal of comedy. True enough.
Yes.
Yep.
So then you also say you memorized every country capital in the world because of that.
I did do that because I was a lonely child and didn't. Usually kids who are lonely are just masturbating in their bedroom all day. I wasn't that guy.
This is what you imagine everyone else.
That's why I'm mad, because you know every movie is like, oh, the tissues are everywhere. Their socks are all crusty. I honestly don't know. I didn't really know what masturbating was until I was like 18 years old. I had no idea. But I think it's the Catholic upbringing. Something happened there. The Catholic school worked. Like,
Dad is like, it's like that the, one up
yeah,
for me.
Yeah, right, exactly. Well, our Catholic school is where they didn't like...
They didn't know Canberra. That's because
I know Canberra. Like, our Catholic school didn't... They didn't tell us, like, sex was evil. They just never talked about sex.
Right.
We just never spoke about it, and it worked. I didn't look at porn. I didn't find that part of the world.
Once you find something as evil, the devil is
you're gonna
very
look for
charismatic.
It. You're yeah, like, it's, exactly. Yeah, like the devil's cool. Like
it's not off-putting. People
exactly.
are drawn to evil.
So like,
yeah.
They did a good idea propaganda-wise. They just never learned about sex till college.
You're a very good Catholic.
Yeah. And I was a good Catholic boy.
This was also not the age of do your own research.
No, and our internet was dial-up. We barely used it.
It was good enough to look up the country capitals,
exactly.
But not good enough.
I had a big map of the world above my bed that I looked at every day. Yeah, I think I probably know 90% of the capitals still.
Right.
I think I do. Do you have some?
I brought a couple up, and I want to test you. And I only brought up interesting ones with wrinkles.
I'm interested to see which ones you pick. Then I'll say what I'm going to say.
Sri Lanka.
Oh, that's it. Colombo. But it's a different... It's a long name now. It's like this... It's like starts the J maybe or something.
Oh, I think that might be true. Yeah, Colombo was changed.
It is still Colombo. It's like Colombo, and they have like two capitals.
That's one of these business administrative things. That's right. I wrote it down. It's Jayawardenepurakote.
Yes.
So that's
very,
not Colombo.
Tip
Colombo
of my
changed,
tongue.
And then they have this other
capital.
Yeah,
so they have two. There's a couple other countries that have done that
Benin
recently.
Is another country. Do
really?
You know
they changed what there's what Benin was Porto Novo. What's it
that's
now?
That's the official one. But this tells me that Cotonou is the de facto, capital.
Okay.
Do you want to go visit what
I
it's
didn't
like?
Know.
It's
okay.
The largest city and seat of
really?
Government. That says capital to
but
me.
But it's not. But it's Porto Novo. See, yeah. I got to update my. This is my. It's been stuck in the day I masturbated. I haven't learned any geographical changes since.
That's what
then.
They say. They say you'll go blind, grow hair, and not any.
Yeah,
not
you
learn
don't learn
any, more
any new
capitals.
Things. Exactly.
Right, right.
Damn, I didn't know that they changed
okay,
that too.
So I, in researching, I have other relevant questions to you in your life, but I was researching country capitals, and I don't know of this country. It is a volcanic.
These island countries, those are tough sometimes.
Volcanic island in the South Atlantic. It is a British overseas territory of St. Helena.
Okay.
It's called Tristan da Cunha.
Oh, yeah. This is the most isolated piece of land on Earth.
And do you know what the name of the capital is?
Ooh, I don't know.
It's like they almost gave up on even
Is this St. Helena or Tristan da Cunha? Are they the same island? Island.
No, it's a property of St. Helena. So St. Helena, so it's like the exurb of St. Helena.
St. Helena's where they sent Napoleon in his exile. He died on the island.
He's from Elba and died at St. Helena.
He's from Corsica.
Corsica. Where was Elba?
Elba was where he was exiled between. Then he escaped and did the Battle of Waterloo. And then they sent him to St. Helena.
The three islands of Napoleon. This I love.
But they're smart. The people listening are still smart.
But I want to know if you know what history. The capital of Tristan da Cunha is.
I don't know. I've always wanted to go there because it's so isolated. I have no idea.
I will now.
Edinburgh of the Seven Seas. That's
Edinburgh
awesome.
Of the Seven Seas.
I love that.
It's like they gave away their responsibility of having an actual name.
That's a crazy long name. Edinburgh of the Seven. I've always wanted to go there because it's like, if you want to be alone, that's where you want to be alone.
Yeah.
I've read there's like one boat that goes there a year or something.
They now that you're, you know, past your 25th birthday and intermasturbating, you have things to do.
I probably knew that when I was 23. I probably knew that. But every time you come in a woman, you forget something. That's true.
It's like when Angel earns its wings.
Exactly.
Yeah. Now, speaking of which, you have a couple jokes in which either you are sucking someone's dick or a dick is being sucked. Do you do them both in the same set?
I think I know what jokes you're referring to. Misdirection
jokes.
I used
that
to
can't
have
be true.
One about my... Something about there was a mom. It wasn't my mom sucking my dick, but it was related to my mother. And then the other one was the dog walking one. Is that the two you're referring to?
We have now determined you have three. Someone or
one,
sucking your
dicks.
Yeah.
I remember my last special. Someone pointed out to me like, you have three jokes about your dick getting sucked. And I was like, because it's funny. Dick getting sucked is a funny phrase. It's a cuh and a cuh.
Yes.
It's like these are how words are funny. It's a blow. Getting a blowjob is not as funny as getting your dick sucked. This is how comedy works, people.
The first,
come on.
Right. It's not that you were getting your dick sucked by your mom.
It wasn't my mom. I can't remember. The joke is that your mom never, parents don't ever think you learn new things. Like, I'm like, mom, I don't like mustard anymore. She's like, you never like mustard. Like, they can't imagine you like new things. That's what it is. And like, mom, I got my dick sucked. I like mustard now. Like, that's what it was, something like, that's what the joke was.
Well, wait a minute. So you have an interesting philosophy that's this close to being, you know, weird and cult-like. If you come in a woman, you lose information.
Yes.
But if you receive oral sex, you gain, if not information, then a taste for new items in the world.
I could see that happening. Yeah, yeah. I think that could. That's a good.
You have to
there could
even
be
it
some.
Out.
There could be some research in that. I could see. I'm interested. I'll do the research. I'll do the research.
You.
Yeah, I'll
your
do the studies.
First joke I was thinking of is why would I be afraid of a homeless guy?
Oh, I did have three at the last special. Yeah, wow, I did. Oh yeah, that one. Yeah, that one. Why would I be afraid of a homeless guy? What was the
everyone
joke?
In America is afraid of homeless people? Isn't that such bitch shit? It's so embarrassing. I'm not afraid of Why would I be afraid of a guy who's currently sucking my dick?
You know, that was a classic example. The thing is that I think that joke's very funny. Saying it in this context, I seem like a complete hack
and a terrible
comedian.
People should know we have an audience of homeless people outside.
Yes.
That's the context Jeff is talking about.
That was a joke where I wrote like, because a lot of comics make fun of homeless people, and I think it's annoying. I think it's like, a homeless guy said this crazy thing. Well, of course he did. He's having the worst time in human history. Of course he said a crazy thing.
Right.
So I was trying to do a little twist on that. Like, why would I be afraid of them? They pleasure me sexually. They're good people.
Yeah.
They're working hard in the same way. Yeah. That one. That's the one that never did. Yeah. You can't say that online, really. But on the show, that joke always hit.
Yeah.
The joke always hit.
You did it early on.
I think that was early in the special in Sacramento. Is that the one you're referring to?
I think. Very bebricked room in Minneapolis.
It's Sisyphus Brewery in Minneapolis.
Yes,
that's
Sisyphus
where that one was.
Brewery.
Yes. Yeah.
That. Uphill climb.
I know. The owner was a comedian, so he's like into like the dark morals of Sisyphus. Yeah.
Like two thirds of the time, someone says syphilis, right?
Yes, definitely. Because people are absurdly stupid. No one knows what Sisyphus is anymore.
But if
Syphilis Brewery, that's what they named it.
Yeah.
Nailed it.
But if you write off the two-thirds of America who thinks it's syphilis, you're not going to get people to drink your beer.
Exactly.
Like,
yeah,
you can't just appeal
and you're not
to the
sell tickets, so you do have to throw some feed to the pigs sometimes. Yeah.
And we'll be back with Jeffrey Asmus right after this. We are back with comedian Jeffrey Asmus. So when you have three sucking a dick, get my dick sucked jokes, is it spacing? Is the spacing important?
That actually is true. I think if I did a 60-minute set, they were all probably 20 minutes apart from each other. I think when I figured it out finally, because then the novelty wears off. I also think each of the three jokes is a surprising enough in itself that you don't see it coming. They don't see the dick suck twist coming. I'm a guy, I'll trick you into getting your dick sucked. Yeah. I'll do it.
Real life.
It's magic.
Know? Sucking a dog's dick, getting a homeless guy suck your dick. They're surprising enough.
They're surprising. That,
yeah, you're
exactly.
still surprised.
I don't think in my new hour I have any dick sucking jokes. I think I moved on from that this time.
But there was another question of spacing. At one point, you call fingernails... what do you call them? Fingernails, bone nails?
What is that?
There was a phrase.
Bone knives. Bone knives. I call fingernails bone knives. Why? Oh, it's because the abortion billboard bit, right? Because they say like, after 30 days a fetus already has fingernails. And I was like, why did they pick that part of the body? Like, no one gives a shit about their fingernails.
Yeah,
I'll use these little useless bone knives that won't stop growing. Yeah. I always thought that's why I wrote a joke about, because I thought, that's not the part of life I'm thankful for.
Yeah. And am I wrong? I thought hair and fingernails was always sold to me as like dead.
Yeah,
parts
exactly.
Of your body.
That's like the one part of the body that's dead already. I never figured out how to make that part
of
the joke.
They're well funded, but they have only a limited billboard budget. That's
to
the
waste
thing,
it on
the
that.
Dead
it's
thing.
Like after 3 weeks in the womb, your baby already is getting its dick sucked. That'd be what I'd put. No,
exactly. The pro-life movement chooses the dead part of
that's
the body.
That's how boring these people are. Is that they think fingernails are the best part of your life? They're like such dull cretins.
Reasons to be alive.
Yeah, that's like, thank God for this little fingernail, so thank God.
But then you have other fingernail jokes, or at least fingering jokes.
Oh, I have fingering jokes. Yes. Did I mention finger? I don't think I mentioned fingernails in that joke, but that, yes, the fingering joke, that one is...
Must there be space between the fingernails and the fingering?
That one, yeah, I think so, yeah. I think there's got to be a half hour. People got to get a half hour break for the finger joke. I think they do.
So you could think of all these jokes, but it's not really generating them. It's spacing them out.
I think one of the most underrated parts of comedy is the order of it, actually. I think a lot of people don't take the time to think of the order of their jokes. I actually think that's
something
I put a lot of thought into, actually, like the order of something like... it's so stupid to say out loud, but like you can't have three dick sucking jokes back to back. You gotta space them out 20 minutes. So like they fit in certain spots.
Could you
in the
go
set.
Dick finger dick finger finger dick?
You could, and I have.
You've gone finger
but
dick
in real life, not on stage. But yeah, you could
well,
figure
people,
that out.
I mean, I think everyone knows. Comedians definitely know that the ordering of the specific joke is incredibly important.
For sure.
But why wouldn't the superstructure stand
by the
same rules?
Superstructure is especially when you start doing like an hour on the road. Like you can't. You don't want to do 10 straight sex jokes. That gets a little...
So gay sex jokes are interspersed?
Yeah, you got to do straight, then gay, then transsex, then straight sex. You do it all. Because like if you just do 10 sex jokes in a row, the shock is lost. So it's funnier to space them out. And like I usually try to start off with very shocking jokes because... to see if the crowd's going to be cool or not, honestly.
Yeah.
I usually front load like three of my more... risque jokes right up top, and if they bomb, it's gonna be a bad show.
So
and
what do you do? What do you retreat to?
If they do badly,
yeah, just like blasting the Lutherans.
Yeah, well, I mean that's always a bastion for my fan base. That'll always do well. Honestly, now if something. I just do my shit and I'll bomb the whole hour. I don't care. I don't care anymore.
Like you know you're good.
I know it's like, sorry, you guys don't like it. I'm not going to really pander anymore, really. I kind of have the act I want to do. And if it doesn't do well, I'm never coming back to Omaha. Like,
Do you have a, this will get them back joke?
I have a few like sex jokes that I, that'll probably get them back. Yeah. A few like older, the fingering joke actually is one of my save jokes, honestly. Yeah.
Save jokes.
That one usually saves it. Honestly.
I should have known that phrase. The
you
save
have a
joke.
Sex. No one, everyone likes a sex joke. If they're out for a night at a comedy club and they're mad at a sex joke, the show should just be canceled. Everyone, no one's offended by sex jokes really. Except gay sex.
Yes.
But straight sex, everyone's fine with. Yeah.
Maybe offended. Maybe.
Oh, they might be like, oh my God. But like, one's really mad about you talking about sex, really.
Right.
That's kind of, we've moved past that as a society.
Right.
Which is good.
So I think this is Only Funny White Man. You do a bit about the cousin you have a crush on.
Yes, that that joke has caused a lot of trouble in my family, actually.
So, we should tell people, maybe we'll play a segment of that. This is the, you were just saying sex doesn't offend, and you start with really offensive jokes, but there is a bleep in the special.
Did I bleep it? I did bleep it. Yes. Did I bleep? I can't remember if we ended up doing that or not. We did. Yeah, we had, because...
This is the thing.
This is the thing. Okay, it's a joke about being attracted to your cousin. It's not true. My cousins are incredibly ugly. I'm not attracted to them. But one of them has the perfect name for the joke. I'll say it. Her name's I like my cousin. I'm not attracted to her in any way. But it's the perfect name.
That's not my fault. If you're from a hot family like mine, on the count of three, let's shout out that sexy little someone, you guys. Okay. A one, a two, a three. Lizzie! Okay. That's not her name. My mom made me change it for this.
I tried Lisa. I tried Susan. I tried Lizzie.
You mean different cousins they weren't that you've gone through?
I have a lot of cousins. I tried to find names that I have so many cousins. Like, it was tough to find female names I didn't have a cousin of. But then I tried other names. It wasn't as funny. I'm sorry. Did the best.
Yeah.
By far.
Yeah.
I tested it, and I didn't change it for the special. And my mom was like, I'm never going to tell you to change a joke again, but you can't say her name. And then I did had to bleep it. I did. I think later there's a callback to me saying the wrong name or something like that.
Well, what happened is you change it to Lizzie, and then later on, because either you're in the flow, you say...
And that's what it was. I changed it to Lizzie in the special, but then later I'm like, it wasn't actually Lizzie. It was bleep. Yeah, that's what it was.
Okay,
yeah.
Now here's my question. So you bleep it, so... He doesn't get offended or whatever.
Right. But it's still gotten back to the family and there is a lot of tension. Some people are pretty mad about it, which I think is lame because it's completely false, but I get it.
And your best defense is, look at her!
Yeah, right? She's hideous! Yeah. And I'm like, it rhymes with sexy. I'm sorry. It's just, it's perfect for the joke. It's perfect.
Okay, I'm gonna, I think this is the right expression. Put a pin on it, rhymes with sexy. You don't make any reference to the fact that it rhymes with sexy.
Your mind makes the assumption. That's it what connects
wanna,
it on its own.
Yes, that's
yes.
what I want to come back to. But I'm thinking strategically, you were probably in the moment, all frazzled. Your mom is there, breathing down on you. I know none of that happened.
She was actually at the show. She was actually at the show, yes.
Not in the editing room when you bleeped it.
Not in the editing room, no.
The thing is, by bleeping it, you perhaps save that one cousin from thinking you were hot for her, but you inject the possibility that every other cousin is now saying, wait, is that my name?
Yeah, there's a little intrigue. Yeah, yeah. They're like, oh, I didn't know I was looking that good at Thanksgiving. Okay, everyone's feeling pretty good. I didn't even think about that.
I think it was just in terms of cousin relations, like not sexual relations, but just navigating family functions. That was a mistake.
The family politics have been odd since then. It actually has caused trouble in our family. I'm not going to lie. That joke actually, I had to retire that joke. That joke, I thought that was one of my funnier earlier jokes, and that they did not really feel the vibe on that.
Well, that's kind of how you know you made it as a comedian.
That's kind of how I know it was a great joke. Yeah, also, yeah. No one gets mad at a mediocre joke.
That's right.
Yeah.
So the idea of a joke that actually works or is funny, but the audience doesn't even react to it as funny. I think you do a couple of those. So here's one, right? And they're both maybe a little bit word related, like how reminds you of sexy and the audience does it in their head. Mm-hmm. You say, oh, with this haircut, I could either be pro or anti-gay, right?
I feel like with this haircut, I could be on either side of the upcoming civil war, you know? Like, I could be like, gay rights, or rights are gay, rights are gay.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Because I used to when I had a shorter cut, I looked like a Hitler youth pastor.
Right.
That's what I said, yeah.
So people laughed at it. But there was no, to me, I just saw it once, there was no differentiation of the laugh that went up on the wordplay you did or the fact that that's a really good joke.
I like that joke a lot. Gay rights are gay. I thought that was fun.
I can't even believe that I'd never heard that before and it's like not on some lame bumper sticker if those exist. But when you do the joke, do people laugh extra hard or recognize that you've made kind of, you're not just playing the character of the guy who says two different things, but you said gay rights are gay. Does the audience usually go up on the second one?
Sometimes you need to just throw like Easter eggs to the crowd a little bit, like jokes that are funny, but maybe only a third of the crowd's going to get why it's really funny. And I think that you want every joke to kill, obviously, but every once in a while you can have like a throwaway line almost that isn't everyone's not getting it, but the people who get it love it.
Yeah.
And that kind of really gets them on their side. If it's like they're in like an inside group, they're like, oh, we got it, not everyone else got it.
Right.
I think you need a few of those, like, I don't know what you'd call, Easter egg's not the right word, but like, I can't really, I don't know what you would call it, but like almost like an extra joke that's not for everyone. It's like an extra credit joke.
Yeah,
almost.
It's a little Russian nesting doll, or maybe a
Russian
Fabergé
nesting doll. It's like a bonus tag if you get it, but if not, they still think the joke's funny.
It doesn't slow the momentum. It's not a joke that doesn't work, and everyone's like, well, that joke didn't work. In other words, if you had said, with this haircut, I could go either way, I could be like, fuck the gays, I love the gays, or fuck the gays, I want to fuck the gays.
I think it would have got the same amount of laughter, but the little clever part is like adds to, like, certain people are like, oh, that was pretty clever. Yes. Other people just don't really get it and you move on.
And speaking of Easter eggs or eggs, another very similar joke of yours is about the farmer uncle who's collecting the brown eggs.
Oh, yeah.
But
yeah.
You say something like, he's not woke, but he's awake earlier than you are. And you don't stop for a laugh.
Yeah, he's not woke, but he's awake at 6 a.m.
You don't stop for a laugh. You go right into
that's kind of like, it's almost like a funny premise.
Yeah.
You know, like, you don't have to pause for a laugh and people are like, oh, okay, that's clever, but it's not a laugh line.
It's not.
But it gets them ready to laugh at the next one. I always thought that was a what I try to do. You want to make the premise funny, because if the premise is kind of funny, they're already ready for the punchline.
Right.
They're already on board.
Well, they are entertained, right?
They're entertained. They're not no one's like, ha, 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 at the wake thing, but they're like, okay. And then I can't remember what the next line is, but is that like when he's whispering to the brown eggs? It's like, I wish you were white.
Yeah, he's collecting those brown eggs that you hipsters love so much.
That's right.
That's exactly it.
This is going down memory lane for my jokes. I kind of, when I put out a special, I like delete it from my memory.
You have to,
so
right?
I'm like, this is kind of fun, honestly, to
but
go
now,
through it all.
The new jokes are offending your right-wing fans on Twitter and Instagram.
They are, yes, yes.
what were some of them?
You know, I had a joke about how Tylenol didn't cause autism, and that if you believe Tylenol causes autism, you were too dumb to... You don't have the smart enough genetics to give your children autism. If you were dumb. That lost some people, and some immigration jokes lost people. Yeah.
Yeah. So did
a couple Epstein jokes lost some people as well.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. Which is, yeah, though, I thought that was surprising, but it's, I don't want to say, yeah, right wing people are very thin skinned sometimes about certain topics. They're like, my president's not a pedophile. He was just good friends with a pedophile. It's like, what?
But the guy did the exact same thing on the other side. Now he's the pedophile.
Exactly.
Clinton.
Like, you can't
Clinton's
see
the
that.
Real criminal.
Right. And I hate Bill Clinton too, but it's like, can we have a little.
Hey, listen, that's how liberal
balance,
I am.
A little
I hate
balance.
Bill
yeah, can we have a little balance? Yeah.
Do you think that woke people sleep later than non woke people? Because it is an interesting premise.
That they wake up later. I think they're more. Yeah, I think they live a later life. They probably live like a more unconventional life.
Yeah.
Like kind of, I wake up at 11 a.m. every day, but I'm up till 3 a.m. every day.
Again, I don't know if this is a joke. It's not. It's a premise. But woke people who are awake less than non-woke people are also much more inclined to say, I'm so tired, y'all. Maybe it has something to do with the fact
I'm
they're
so
woke.
Tired of this world, and I'm just tired in general as well. Yeah, true.
I'm tired,
Body
y'all.
Body and soul get tired. Exactly.
So my way into your comedy was, seeing it live, seeing it on YouTube.
Did you see me at the Cellar?
Yes. And this is not what I wanted to get to, but you frequently do wear sweatshirts with words on it, and I thought that
I
was...
I only wear crew necks. I'm very self-conscious about how skinny my arms are, and it's a. It's
but I
literally
thought you
were
supposed to distract the audience writing.
Yeah, I've heard that, but I think... I've actually noticed people like it, because I wear crew necks from places I've been. It's pretty much the only thing. I like go to a city, and if they have a cool crew neck, I'll buy one. And then people are always like, oh, you're repping La Jolla. Oh, shit, Asbury Park. People like that. This one you can't really read, but it's from Rhode Island. But yeah, it's...
Oh, it says Rogue Island.
Rogue
I
Island
see what
Comedy
they did
Festival.
There, yeah.
This one's a little less noticeable.
I didn't know that it was a pun on Rhode Island. I figured with all the islands, there's got to be
Rogue Island. I think it's on Newport Island, pun. But yeah, I always try to wear... I think people like the distraction. I think that's... I have heard that thing. You don't want to distract... I think there are things that are too distracting, obviously, but like, just as one word, people are like, oh, he's from Indiana or Wisconsin. Yeah. I wear a lot of Wisconsin, Minnesota stuff, and I think people like that. I think, switch people from there.
I think it can't be true. Like Chappelle wears like his bespoke,
Bernie Mac wore pants with Bernie Mac's face on them. Yeah. Like, I mean, it's
Nikki Glaser is not dressing subtly.
No, I think a lot of those old school rules, like you can't wear shorts on stage. It's like, yeah, I mean, if you're funny, you can. I don't know. I think a lot of the rules are just like, if you're funny, it's fine.
Yeah.
You can't bring notes on stage. I bring notes on stage every set and it's fine. It's not a big deal.
So I've seen you live. I've seen you on YouTube. And then I was watching a special. And on whatever platform it was, it suggests prompts, right? And one was Jeff Asmus Wikipedia, which is an obvious prompt. I'm like, yeah, let's learn about him.
Do I have a Wikipedia?
You do not.
I didn't think so.
So what this does is it directs to an article where the headline and the joke was, here is my one goal in life, to get a Wikipedia page.
Oh, I have said that a few times. Okay. And I stand by that. That is my goal in life, to get a Wikipedia page.
It's important. It's an important goal, and you deserve it.
But I could make one myself, but that's cheating. It needs to be made organically. Yeah.
Well, if you do, you should throw off the scent by having like some really scathing criticisms
right,
in there.
Yeah, Jeffrey is one of the worst comedians ever from Woodbury, Minnesota. Yes. Yeah. And the only one also.
Yeah, and it's all credited to, Lutheran hater.
Yeah, exactly.
But here's what happened. So there was no Wikipedia page, and then maybe I did one more search, or it wasn't a series of clicks that made me violate your personal space, but number one result after maybe two clicks was your actual LinkedIn page.
Oh, is it still up?
Yes. It says you are a child care professional.
I used to be a child care professional, or that's what I was basically a tutor, but you called it a child care professional. Yeah.
But it's very earnest. Like,
that was probably when I was starting comedy, but I still had a day job. And so I had to do the LinkedIn game for probably 3 years or so. I didn't know that was still up, honestly.
I didn't even want to find it. I wasn't doing my classic.
I'm shocked
hey,
that that's
the private
still up.
Eye.
What does it say?
So here it is.
Or what picture did I use?
Jeffrey
on
Asmus, stand-up comedian, tutor, and child care
worker. Let's go. Oh, yeah. I worked at a summer camp for like 3 summers in a row.
And I'm just thinking that
picture, that's my old headshot for stand-up.
Self-employed Chicago. If I was like, let's go to a show, and then I saw this page, I don't know if
he'd be like, is he tutoring and then going to the show? Yeah.
I don't know what
I used to have jokes about being a teacher. Oh, ESL tutor,
he's
volunteer.
He's the first comedian whose his splash page fronts the ESL tutor at the Literary Network.
I was an ESL tutor for a while. That's right. Oh, my. That's another life, honestly.
This is also funny, and it says to present, which is a red flag on LinkedIn. When you do something to present, they don't go in and take it down.
Oh, that is, I'm not volunteering there anymore.
He's a volunteer
in
the field.
Lakeview Pantry.
In the field of poverty alleviation.
I was doing a good job.
Can you explain it in
I don't remember adding
term?
That. I didn't know. I just some people
and it's
still
too
think
present.
I didn't I gotta delete that page, honestly, is what I have to do. I gotta go in there. That picture is embarrassing. And I know I have some real like business speaky paragraphs like my experience with children has catalyzed my brain into forming relationships that pushed forward my career opportunities. Or like just buzzword shit. I hate LinkedIn. I always hated using LinkedIn. It's such a soulless, vapid place.
And you can never get off it.
You,
like,
and
they
you
keep
need
pounding
it.
You to the ends
if,
of the
I
earth.
Can't imagine if I had to use that for like your life. Like that's like what you have to do every day. Yeah. Oh, that'd be hell. Hell.
Okay, so the definition of successful comedian is one, some of your content gets your parents mad at you and causes a rift in the family.
And you can delete LinkedIn.
And LinkedIn is nothing.
Honestly,
yes.
And get a Wikipedia. If I get a Wikipedia, I'm good. I'm done. That's it. That's all I want.
What do you want to plug that's anew? And I'll say it for the outro.
What do we want to plug for new? Well, I'm touring all over this spring, folks. The could be worse tour. Everywhere. I mean, if you live in a city of over 200,000 people, I'll probably be there. I'm exhausted just thinking about it. All my tickets are at whitecomedian.com. I bought that website years before it was problematic. Now it seems like an alt-right thing. It was a joke. That was an example of me playing a character in like 2014. Now it is like Proud Boy adjacent, but it's still my website, whitecomedian.com. So you can buy them all.
Exactly the time, if I'm doing my timeline right, that you work for the Literacy Network.
That was probably
when you were a member of Phi Alpha Theta.
Oh, yeah, I did. That was like one of those fraternities that you never actually went there. I just got it because I had a certain GPA or something. I never actually went to Phi Alpha Theta. I could wear like a cord at graduation. That's why I got it. I've never gone. It was like the history fraternity. That's what it was.
What's hazing like in the history fraternity?
You know, they're like, this is how Genghis Khan did it, and then they butt fuck you.
Yeah, but you didn't say Genghis.
Not Genghis Khan. That's true. Yes, yes. I forgot I was part of that fraternity. That's right.
Well, it's part of the fraternity of...
And I was teaching those people English. That's right. Those like Korean and Hispanic people. That's right. Dang.
Through the miracle of comedy?
I probably fucked them up. They're probably speaking weird English. They're like,
have good
cousin hot. Hot cousin. finger big as penis. Yes, yes. I ruined some lives, I'm sure.
Jeff Asmus, thank you for your comedy and your commitment to literacy.
There we go. You know, I changed the life. Thank you for having me. It is Osmus.
Osmus.
Osmus. Well, keep it in. Keep it in. This is a learning opportunity. It's like it's A-H-S-M-U-S. That's how I say it. It's
all
Osmus.
Right, so things to do. Respell the name. Take over the LinkedIn.
Yeah, and get a Wikipedia.
Yeah, make amends with Lizzie.
I think that, unfortunately, if you don't know my family, the bridge, unfortunately, is probably burned there. But that one's probably done. They're quite mad at me. But you got to get Auschwitz right. We're German people, and we're very proud of being German. We've had a few missteps over the years, but we will always return better than ever.
Jeff Auschwitz, a German and a white comedian.
Yes, yes.
It's all adding up to
something. Before World War II, Germany was the center of intellect and culture.
Yeah.
We fucked up, though.
Yeah.
We fucked up, no doubt.
Yeah, you could slide.
Thank you, Jeff, for having me. Thank you. Absolutely. Hell yeah.
And that's it for today's show. Corey Wara produces The Gist. Kathleen Sykes runs The Gist List. Jeff Craig runs our media. We're looking for a great booker. A couple of you have suggested yourselves or friends. Email us if you want to book great guests for the show and other Peachfish entities. We're at thegist@mikepesca.com. Who's monitoring that email and pretty much everything else? It's COO of Peachfish Productions, formerly Chief Bullshit Officer. She's moved into the realm of the actual, Michelle Pesca. Umperu, Jeeperu, Dooperu, and thanks for listening.